And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So if you want to look at your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis 22 a little bit this evening. We're also going to be in some other verses. But the title of the message is, Why did God call Abraham? Why did God call Abraham? All right, before Abram, right, what does Abram mean? Abram means exalted father. So before God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means what?
Father of many nations.
Father of many nations, or father of the multitude. God called him out of the land of what? Ur of the Chaldeans. And what that place was steeped in idolatry. Mm-hmm. All right, they were that area was very, very idolatrous. And I want to show that to you, because if you go to Joshua 24:2, listen to what Joshua said. Joshua said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, which would be Terah's father or Abraham's grandfather, lived beyond the Euphrates. And what did they do?
They worshiped other gods.
So that area was steeped in idolatry, and they worshiped what some people say is the moon god. Anybody worship the moon god in here?
No.
So listen, before God called Abraham, there's no evidence at all that Abraham knew the one true God. There's no evidence at all as to why God was calling Abraham as well. Amen? Or he even knew that God was going to use him to create a special people. Am I right?
Yeah.
And he especially didn't know when God called him that a Savior was going to come through his lineage. Man, right?
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm telling you, like I always tell you, if God gave him the whole picture, Abraham wouldn't be able to take it.
He would have run the other way.
Jonah.
But I want to show you as we go through this, like God always does, he gives you enough of the picture to keep you excited,
pique your interest,
and to keep you moving forward and keep your focus on him. Now remember, tonight it's about Abraham, right? Why did God choose Abraham? He was a special guy.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, he had his faults, right? He lied a couple times about Sarah being his sister, which
just a
really
little
lied.
Lie.
Has anybody here ever lied?
But the context was a lie because of why he was saying it. All right, so let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and this is what it says. This is when God calls Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to a land I will show you. Man, can you imagine that? You're in the year of the Chaldeans. You're steeped in idolatry. And God just comes to you in such a way that he can convince you to load up all your stuff, leave your people, leave your father, leave your family, and listen, go to a place that I will show you. So what is it? He didn't even tell him where. He just says, pack up, head out, and I'll give you directions as you go. Listen, that's what God tells you and me today.
Yes, he does.
Just get up this morning, pack up your stuff to get through the day, and if you'll trust in me, I will guide you through that day.
Yeah, and that right there, that's the key word. Whenever he told him to go, Abraham just had to trust.
Yeah.
It's that word. That's important.
Amen. Amen. All right. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and I will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth, right, will be blessed through you. So right here in this verse, we can get a pretty good idea of why God called Abraham, right? He called him to bless him. He called him to make his name great. He called him to make him into a great nation, which is what?
Israel.
The Israelites. All the Israelites, the Israelite nation, absolutely came through Abraham, right? But he also said that all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now listen, Abraham had no idea really what that meant. And the significance of what God was saying. Yes, and we're going to get into that. So just remember that in that verse, right? All right, I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 22. Anybody know what's in chapter 22?
He was tested.
Isaac tested.
God test Abraham. I wonder how many of us in here can pass this test.
That depends on the day.
Oh, it was pretty loud.
I'm not even going to argue that, right? I'm not even going to argue that, Tammy, because you know what? There might be some truth to that. Depends on the day. All right, so in Genesis 22, sometime later it says, God tested Abraham. Now listen, God is not testing Abraham to see what Abraham's going to do. You get that, right? God isn't going, well, I'm going to put Abraham in this spot, in this predicament, so that I can find out what Abraham's going to do. He is God. He is holy. He is omniscient. He already knows the outcome. So let me lay this down for you right off the bat. This test is for Abraham.
Yep.
And you know what? When I read this, I remember, Pat, when we went through 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 12, it says, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you.
Yep.
Man, that verse is now just, I love that God can give me that. Mm-hmm. And listen, when the fiery ordeals come, don't be surprised, he said, right? I mean, something strange happened to you. This is the way it is.
Yep.
This is the way that life is going to be. Amen? All right. God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. I love those words, right? Here I am. When God calls, do you say, here I am?
Yep.
Remember that was Isaiah when God called him?
Yep.
Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of what? Moriah. Say Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Again, he says, just go to this region, and then I'll show you what mountain to go to, right? But he said here, take your son, your only son. But wait a minute, that wasn't his only son. He already had a son named Ishmael with Hagar, right? But God didn't recognize that son. He only recognized this son because God says, take your son, your only son. So this is the son of promise, right?
Yep.
And what's the son of promise's name?
Jacob.
Isaac.
I'm sorry.
Isaac, yes. All right. So, on this story in 22, man, when God says, take your son, your only son, and go to a mountain, I will show you, there you will sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Listen, here's how it goes. Abraham loads up his donkey. That's what it says. He puts the wood, he gets the fire, he gets a couple servants, and he takes off to the region of Moriah. And he gets there. By the way, he's got servants with him. That's what the Bible says. He gets there, and he sees it off in the distance, the Bible says. So he gets there, and he tells his servants, he says, hey, stay here. The boy and I will be back.
Yep.
We're just going up to worship. Now, wait a minute. God told you to go up there and sacrifice your son. How can you make that statement that you're coming back and the boy's coming back with you? We'll get to that. All right, so he goes up there, right? And they're on the way up there. And here's what Isaac says. And this is the only words that come out of Isaac's mouth that we have recorded in the Bible. He says, Father, here we have the wood, here we have the fire, but I don't see the lamb for the offering. You know what Abraham said? He said, don't worry about it, son. He said, Jehovah Jireh, which means?
God will provide. Provider.
God will provide. So he gets up there, man, and he is taking Isaac, he makes an altar, he puts Isaac on it, got the wood ready, gets everything ready to do what he needs to do, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Man.
Straddles that boy.
Gets the knife in his hand, the Bible says. Listen, Isaac is quiet. Isaac is quiet. He gets the knife, gets it up, Bible says, and then he hears a voice. What does it say? Abraham, Abraham, do not harm your son. Amen? So he gets to that point, and God tells him to stop and tells him not to hurt his son. And by the way, God provided a ram in the thicket for the sacrifice for Abraham to make. But here's what I'll read to you. I want to read to you verse 17 from that chapter. And again, it's going to tell us why God chose Abraham. And this is what it says. He said, I will surely bless you. Sound familiar? And make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. You can't even count those. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Did they?
Yes.
And through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.
Yeah.
Let's go back. God tested Abraham. Did Abraham pass the test?
Yes. 1,000,000%.
1,000,000%. But please understand something. Can you, in your own mind and in your own heart, think of a greater test than for God to ask you to sacrifice your own child?
And this is a man that had waited all his life and didn't think he was going to get a son.
Yes.
I mean,
and his son was like 30 years old.
And aside from, you know, emulating Jesus, right? Lord, give me that faith. Right.
Yes.
That's my prayer.
And we're going to get into that too, because that's part of the reason that, I mean, right here we see a picture of faith, right? When God asked him to just leave his land, go to just leave. I'll show you where to go. And then later on, he asked him, "Hey, I'm going to test you," or God's going to test him. And this test was for Abraham.
Well, I mean, boys meant something then. Not like, yes. Not like, oh, that's one of my kids.
Take your son,
your only
son, and he knew that this was the son of promise.
Yes.
The promise that he gave to him, right? That he would be the father of many nations. And this is the seed. Isaac is that seed, right?
But Pastor, he didn't trust him to that extent when he didn't believe he was going to get a son because he wouldn't have had a son with
yes.
another woman.
No, I didn't say it was perfect.
Yeah. No, but I meant he had to have gained more trust
yes.
through that
yes.
lesson he learned by... He should have waited.
Yes.
Should have
trusted
all of us, right?
Exactly.
That's why we need
that test
to increase our faith.
Do not be surprised if the power of your ability has come upon you to test you.
Yeah.
Right? As though something strange were happening to you.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even though that verse came after Abraham, I could put that right there in that verse, right? All right. So, from Abraham came the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, right? Were they special?
Nope.
Because God picked them, they were.
I mean, they are special.
Well, they were special then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't like Abraham was a special dude.
When I say special, I mean chosen.
Yes.
Chosen.
They were absolutely chosen.
They
right?
weren't different than any other human race.
But I want to show you what's special about them. And again, it'll show you again why he chose Abraham. Because with the Jews, or with Abraham's descendants, were trusted the oracles or the words of God. You follow me? Is that important?
Yes.
That God would have to find a people who he could entrust with his very words?
Yeah.
Let me read to you something. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, this is what Paul says. What advantage then is there in being Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? And Paul says this, much in every way. Then he says, first of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. So what does he mean when he says the very words of God? They were entrusted with the law, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They were entrusted with the Genesis and the first five books of the Bible, the Mosaic Law,
the Ten
right?
Commandments, I mean, all of it.
They were entrusted with the prophecies of the prophets. But not only that, I want you to think about this. They were also entrusted with the words of God, the prophecies which are peppered all throughout the Old Testament. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? What an honor that is. What an honor that is to be entrusted with the oracles or the words of the Lord. Amen?
Well, they were also entrusted with the Ark of the Covenant, and there were some special words in there, too.
Yeah.
Two tablets.
Yeah. All right. Why did God choose Abraham? Another reason. To prepare the way for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know God is in the preparing business.
Yes.
You know God is always preparing you for something. The question is, are you hearing him? But he's always mm-hmm. preparing you. God is a God that prepares people. Come on.
Yep.
Just know that he always does. So God promised to Abraham, that in Abraham's offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? I want to read that to you again, because this is a key verse and why God chose Abraham. Verse 17 of Genesis 22. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. All right, so when we look at that, I want you to understand something. The reference here to Abraham's offspring is an absolute direct passage and is positively 100% talking about the Messiah, or as we know him, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
And that line came through Isaac.
Yes. And through that Savior, all the world, all the peoples, all the nations would be blessed through Abraham's offspring. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, that's kind of a stretch right there. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. It is kind of, how do you know, Pastor, that points to Jesus Christ absolutely emphatically? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible always confirms itself, does it not? Listen to what Paul said, because listen, if he didn't say this, there's no way I could draw that line from Abraham, or that word offspring or seed, some of your Bibles say, from that word all the way to Jesus Christ. But look what Paul said in Galatians 3:16. Listen very closely. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. That's how I can tell you emphatically, 100% sure, that when God spoke to Abraham thousands of years before this happened, amen, that word offspring represents our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Paul in the New Testament would reveal that mystery to us. But do you think Abraham knew that, Jason? He didn't know that. Would that make you nervous, man? Would that make you anxious? Would that kind of intimidate you a little bit if God said, hey, you know, the other way, that word offspring I just used, it's going to be the Savior of the world,
yep,
who brings a chance of salvation and eternal life to the entire human race.
Amen.
Man. Yeah.
No pressure, Isaac.
Huh?
No pressure, Isaac.
No pressure, Isaac. All right. So that's why God chose Abraham, to prepare the way for the Messiah. Jesus would come through his lineage. Amen? All right. Why did God choose Abraham? To reveal his faith as an example for us. He has some of the best stories of faith in the entire Bible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called from his own land just to go to a land that I would show you, right, as an inheritance. And he went out not even knowing where he was going. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. And what do we know this chapter as?
Faith.
Hall of faith.
The Hall of Faith. I wonder, if you lived in Old Testament days, would you be in there? By faith, Abraham, when called to go up to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That takes a lot of faith. Mm-hmm. Listen, do you think God won't call you to go somewhere that you don't even know where you're going? What do you think, Jason? What do you think, Brandon? Huh? What do you think, Cammy? Dave? Carla? Huh? Anybody else here from out of state? Pack up and go, man. Pack up and go. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. So, when Abraham was during this time, I want you to know, he was in the land of Canaan. That was the land that God promised to give his ancestors after their 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Matter of fact, we're in Numbers. We've already seen them come up to the promised land once.
Yep.
What happened?
Yep.
Rebuff. Rebellious, disobedient, whining, crying.
Non-believing,
man.
Grasshoppers.
So a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, man, like a nomad, right? As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him to that promise. They would have to be heirs with him to that promise, right? Because if the 14 generations between them, or the 28 generations between them, between Abraham and Jesus, right? Then they have to be part of it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you think of the patriarchs, or who do you think of? You think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then from Jacob came what?
12 tribes.
The 12 tribes. Man, do you see that God had a plan when he called this man Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, a place steeped in idolatry? God had a plan for him. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you into a great nation. And God always, always keeps his promises, all of his promises, right? Let me read to you verses 17 through 19 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through your son Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Man. So that gives you, remember I told you when he got up and he went to the, they were fixing to go up the mountain to, and he was going to make that sacrifice. What he told the servants?
We'll be back. See, Abraham already knew the promise. He already knew what was going to happen.
I get that, Bruce. But knowing a promise and believing it and standing on it, no matter what happens or what comes your way, is totally different.
Yeah, I mean, that unbelievable faith.
You don't know until you're put in that situation.
You know, I know when we read that from chapter 22 and it says, you know, all right, you guys, man, we'll be back. Hang out. Right? We're going up here, man. But me and the son, we'll be back. Without these verses in Hebrews tying it all together and letting us know, hey, that what was on his mind now, walking up there, is that, hey, man, we'll be back. Because here's the deal. If I go up there and sacrifice my son, I believe God can raise him from the dead.
Yep.
Now, he didn't say that then. But when we look at it in the New Testament, it gives us the answer to what Abraham was thinking. That he believes, even if he went up there and that knife penetrated him. And by the way, he said to offer your son as a what? A burnt offering. That makes it a little more challenging. Not just the stabbed guy, because you had to slaughter the offering first, right? And then you had to what?
Burn it.
You know what? God can still do that, can't he? Mm-hmm. What amazes me is he went up that hill with that mentality. And that's why it says by faith.
He went up the hill. He made the altar. He put the boy on it. I mean, good night.
Well, and that speaks of Isaac, too, because he didn't fight with him as a grown man himself at that point.
That is amazing that the only thing that Isaac says in this whole story is, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Oh, don't worry, son. So what kind of kid must Isaac have been? Must have been a pretty good kid. I don't know, man.
And shared his faith.
If my mom tried to put me on an altar,
you knew you deserved it.
She got fire, there's wood, she got a knife.
She'll testify in court that you did.
We have a problem. I'll share a story with you. Some of you have heard this story.
No.
Willow Park Baptist Church, when I was there, and one of the teachers didn't show up that day. They were sick or something. So they said, hey, we need you to do the 5 to 6 year old.
Oh, gosh.
You?
Looking back at me. Just thinking about it.
We don't have anybody else. You know what? I'll do it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll fucking. So I said, I don't even have a lesson. So I said, I'll teach them Genesis 22. So I am acting this out with kids. I get a kid, put him on a chair, lay him down, I'm reading the story and all about him as we go. And I said, well, Abraham raised the knife like this. And that kid looked right at me and he said, please don't kill me. You should have seen that kid's face, because I really think he might have thought for a minute that I was going to kill him. Needless to say,
I wasn't asked back.
Yeah, never asked you again, did they?
Huh?
Never asked you again, did they?
The other kids were crying, too. So.
Yes, the other kids were crying.
Because you were going to kill their friend?
Yeah.
The other kids cried.
You did a good job of them.
Do you remember his name, honey?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a place for Grace kids.
He said, please don't kill me, Mr. Dean. And then all the other kids were crying.
Yeah, but Dean, that just means you were so good at it that they were in the moment.
They
that's what I try to do with my kids. Death
was fixing to take place, yeah.
I think Isaac might have learned a lot from this experience, too, and going back with his father and experience in faith and, you know, questioning God.
You know, Judy, I think you're right, because clearly Isaac understood the circumstances. Mm-hmm. He understood that he had he understood about a sacrifice, right, and an offering, because he said, Father, you have the fire. He knew fire was required. He knew wood was required to do the offering. So, you know, it doesn't tell us how old Isaac was, but he had to be old enough to understand what was going on here, and old enough to understand, hey, we ain't got a lamb. We ain't got a goat.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Amen. That's a good story, though, with the kids, man. You know, come to think about it, they never did ask for that.
Good story from your side of it. You haven't heard the children's
side of it. They tell it to their kids. They
were all
an angel.
They might have
told their
mama. That's funny.
There was a conversation about you, I'm sure.
Yeah, there was, because the Place for Grace, which is Steve Gray, came up to me the next Sunday and said, hey, what are you doing there? Of course, the kids told them, you know, I'm sure it sounded terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I just said,
we left a few things out, probably.
We just acted out Genesis 22. You know, Abraham called the sacrifice Isaac. We just, you know, I even had the servants, and we walked and told the servants, we'll be back, and took the kid with me and laid him on there. Just, you know, did the whole scene, play by play.
Pulling out the knife was probably where you should have. I say pulling out the knife was probably where you should
have
cut.
No, I didn't have a knife. I did not have a knife. But I don't. It didn't matter to him. That kid, he don't care what we meant to do.
He was 5 years old.
5 year olds. Yeah.
All right. So, what we see here is a pattern from Abraham's life. What we see is a pattern of faith. By faith, by faith. We read that how many times in Hebrews chapter 11? By faith, by faith, by faith. It was only by faith that Abraham accomplished all of these things. And by the way, they were very difficult things, probably some of the most difficult things there are in life. Number one, just get up and leave. I wonder if, I mean, man, what would God have to do to you, to get you to just get up and leave, and just what? Go where, Pastor? He ain't gonna tell you.
Walk.
Texas.
He's gonna tell you as he goes, right? But you understand what I'm saying? And you know, he didn't know this God, this one true God. But what did he do? God is convincing.
Yes.
Clearly. To take
very
a man.
Clear.
Huh?
Very clear.
It must have been, because it doesn't really say. It just says. And then look, then God said to Abraham.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling, if God comes and talks to you, I got a feeling he's gonna make an impression.
Yeah.
He's gonna leave an impression.
Thinking.
I mean, has God spoken to anyone today?
Today?
Man, he spoke to me.
Yes,
he said,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, quit letting this building and this building consume you. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your request be made known to God.
And even fear not, for I am with you.
Yes. Yes, though the waters come, right? And if you get fire, you will not be burned. We just learned that in the other day. Yeah. But you know, again, knowing the promises and actually making application to the promises.
But I know that peace came over you. When he said that, that peace came over you.
Yeah, he did for about 2 hours. And then you got to go through the whole thing again. I mean, you know.
He'll do it again if he needs to.
He will. But it's not on him. It's on me.
Come on.
Not on him at all.
Amen.
All right, so.
If it, whatever his will is, that's what's going to happen, and you can't stop it regardless. You know, as long as you're.
No, I can't stop it, Bruce, but I can sure screw it up. Come on, man. You agree with
RV. Called an RV.
You can sure screw something up, man.
Yeah. Not listen.
Huh? Not listening. All right. So we are to follow Abraham's pattern of faith, pattern of obedience, right? And what was he called to do? Leave the world. Leave the worldly pursuits and the worldly lusts. Leave what he used to know, right?
Comfortable. Comfort.
Comfort, you know, and then come and follow me, and I will teach you the right way, is what God is saying. So, are we heirs to Abraham's faith?
Yes.
We absolutely are, man. And listen, we can look to God too, and we can follow Abraham's example if we have the willingness and the desire to hear God to what he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. Will God lead you?
Yep.
Yes, he will absolutely lead you, right? Can you trust God for the future?
Yes.
Do you know how many promises we have that only are good for from this day forward? Come on. There's so many.
All of us.
Yes. So many, man. There's no reason for us to walk through this life anxious, frustrated, or any of those things, because we know the end of the story.
Amen.
Amen. And the story ends with you and I standing before our little Lord and Savior. To be absent from this body. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I mean, do you really believe that? Because I think our lives would be a reflection of that. Or to go back to what Tammy said, boy, it depends on what day it is.
Sometimes fear gets in there. The devil sneaks in and you have to throw him into the pit again.
So, Abraham was looking forward to something, wasn't he? And what he was looking forward to was that God was going to fulfill the promises that he made in his life, promises to bless him, to make him a great nation, right? Yes. To make his name great. Did he make his name great?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Abraham is absolutely one of the most faithful characters in this word that God has given us. So absolutely. Everybody knows Abraham.
Yep.
To this day.
To this day, yes. And to this day, we're still talking about
Abraham
and Abraham's faith, right? So what was the result of Abraham's faith, man? The result was he simply obeyed God in everything God asked him to do.
Yes.
That sounds easy to say, doesn't it? I simply obeyed God in everything he said for me to do.
Well, even before he knew him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a measure of humility that goes along with that, or you would not be able to obey.
Bruce, that is a great point, and that is true, man. You can't have this kind of faith and not have humility like Moses.
That's correct.
And who was Moses? The most humble guy on the face of the earth, the Bible says. So with this kind of faith, you're not arrogant. You are definitely humble, and you're humbled by the faith created in you, knowing that God is going to fulfill the promises.
Complete trust.
Yes.
You're arrogant. You can't obey.
Huh?
You can't be arrogant and obey.
No.
You can't.
No.
No, because God won't even listen.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 18, 19, and 20. Yeah, we're going to cover three chapters. So.
Well, I've read them all.
Huh?
I read them all.
And you'll see Moses kind of gets a little arrogant there, man. And it really does cost him, doesn't it?
Yep.
It cost him big, man. So we'll be looking at that come Sunday, and we're going to cover three chapters. So read 18, 19, and 20. Amen? All right. So are we the children of Abraham?
Yes.
Yes. But wait a minute. I'm not Jewish.
Grafted in.
Huh?
Grafted in.
We were adopted.
Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 79. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. You have faith?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you really?
Yep.
Then you are, is that what the Bible says?
Yes, yes, it does.
Then you are children of Abraham. Scripture, now get this, this is beautiful right here. Scripture, what's scripture? God's word. Who was entrusted to who?
The Jews.
Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now listen, maybe you've never seen this before, but when God told Abraham that I will bless all the peoples because of you, I will bless all the peoples because you obeyed me, I will bless everyone through your offspring, that he was also talking about the Gentiles.
All peoples.
All peoples. Yes. All right. And announce the gospel. Do you get that?
Yep.
There is no way, by the way, announce the gospel in advance to Abraham is what it says. There is no way Abraham knew that gospel story. But here, we know that it wasn't a full picture of the gospel, but it was the gospel. Mm-hmm. So through God telling Abraham that the entire human race would be blessed through your offspring, he was absolutely revealing the gospel. And again, who does that point to
Jesus.
And confirm it to be?
Because
without Jesus, you have no gospel.
That's right.
He is the gospel. The gospel means what?
Good news.
Man, so back then, God was giving Abraham the good news. The good news. I mean, listen to me. What has God called you to do? Because here's what I want you to know. There is enormous blessing in that which he's called you to do. You hear me? And you'll never get that blessing unless you have enough faith to move forward even when it looks impossible.
It mostly will look impossible.
It absolutely.
That's very, very rare.
There's no way I can do this. You're right.
That's part
there
of
is
God.
No way you can do that. Because that's the things God calls you to do.
Yep.
God doesn't call you to do things you can do in your own strength. He calls you to do things only you can only accomplish in his strength. And you know what? You remember in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, I believe it was? He said, I don't share my glory with anybody. And by doing what we're doing, or being a man like, you know, Abraham gave God the glory. He didn't try to revel in his own faithfulness, right? He gave God the glory. And I want y'all to remember that. God doesn't share his glory with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's fair. Is that not fair? What glory do we deserve?
No. Filthy rag.
Huh?
Yep.
Who said filthy rag? Yeah, filthy rag. What is that? Bruce loves this verse. Let your light so shine before men
that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
So even when they see your good works, they shouldn't glorify you. They should glorify God, because God does not share his glory, nor should he. Because listen, you can't accomplish it anyway without him. Yeah, Jason.
I think a cool segue with what you got up on the board and what you're just talking about in that Hall of Faith chapter, and because you talk about, you know, that tells that Abraham got the good news, you know, early in advance. But I think the kind of neat verse, and Brandy pointed this out, but it just says in verse 13 in Hebrews, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance.
Amen.
Right.
They
knew it was coming.
Isn't that
he may not have even really come for it. You know what I mean? Like Abraham, it'd be really, you know, this, like to your point, this is a promise that's 28 generations
yes.
away.
Yes.
So, but he still, that verse says, you know, talking about all those people in that hall of faith, like basically none of them ever lived long enough to see the fulfillment, but they still kept that faith right up until the day they died.
Yes. And when they died, where'd they go?
Abraham's bosom.
But they only got there by the same way we get there.
Yep.
And that is by faith.
Hallelujah.
That's the only way. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Bob says. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Man, Abraham's bosom.
Well, and I like how on when he sacrificed him or was going up to, that Moriah is close to where Jerusalem is. Or is it exactly where, somewhere in that? And
I'm
then
get to that.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. I don't mind if we get ahead of me because I'm going there too.
Okay.
I'm going there too. I want to, because some really fantastic biblical acts
happened
on that mountain in the region of Moriah. Some people say, well, I'll get to it. No, I don't want to throw it out there. All right. So it's just amazing to me that here Paul tells us that God announced the gospel to Abraham in advance. And that's essentially what he was doing by saying, all nations will be blessed through you. That was introducing or announcing the gospel. All right. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. What an honor it is, right? For God to call you the man or the woman of faith. Man, that says a lot about Abraham. So are you starting to understand why God called or chose Abraham? Mm-hmm. Remember, God doesn't look on the outside, but he knows everything about the inside. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows you. Why?
Because he created you.
He is the manufacturer. All right. Let me read verses 26 through 29 in that same chapter. In Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor there is male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, man. You mean the promise of what? The gospel.
Yep.
Is that what you just said?
Yep.
I am an heir to that. I am blessed. I am an heir to the promise that he made Abraham, that all his offspring, that his offspring would be blessed, meaning Jesus Christ. And I'm blessed today because of that offspring. Oh, man. Abraham gave up his homeland, gave up his home to live in tents and be a nomad, right? Abraham willing to go and sacrifice. I mean, why don't I just say and kill? Murder.
Yep, burn.
Right, burn. His only son. Would it be fair to say that that was the cost of following God at that time?
Yes.
You know, God talks in the New Testament about the cost of being a disciple too, doesn't he? I want to read you something. Because when I read through this Abraham story, this verse came to mind. In Luke 14:33, it says this: in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Amen? What are you willing to give up for God? We should give up the world, the worldly lusts,
everything,
the worldly desires. We have to be ready and willing and have a desire to give those things up, because if we can't, or won't,
it's an idol of the heart.
Then we absolutely, it says, Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking, you cannot be my disciple. Here's what I want you to know. The kind of faith Abraham had, that's the kind of faith God blesses. Am I wrong? If we do not resolve to forsake the things that God has called us to forsake, and they are numerous, and they are all worldly, right? Yeah. Fleshly things, right? Then it's going to be hard for us to really look in the mirror and say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does he mean when he says, those of you who do not give up everything. What is he talking about? Is he saying you're going to have to give up everything? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, are you willing? Because we're putting this in the context of Abraham for just a second. God didn't tell Abraham to give up everything. He did tell him to leave his family, right? But he said, I will bless you. I will make you a great, your name great. And I will give you many, I will make your name great, and I will make a nation from you. God asked him to do that, but was Abraham blessed?
Yep.
Yes.
Abundantly.
Abundantly, man. God absolutely took care of Abraham, man. As a matter of fact, Abraham was so blessed that him and Lot, they had so many sheep and goats and all that. Okay. What did they have to do?
Separate.
They had to split up. That turns into a whole other story.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, it was Abraham who negotiated with God. Huh? So, listen, you know God pretty well if you're going to negotiate with him. Come on. All right. So I hope that you guys understand that we are called to live by faith. And you know, Jason said about those people who died, they were still living by faith when they died, right? And the promises that haven't yet been fulfilled. Am I right? Aren't we living that same way today? Yeah, the promises now aren't as obscure as they were to Abraham, because today God has made them crystal clear for us. Yep. And listen, we live, and then we should do just as Jason said and read there in Hebrews chapter 11. And believing on the promises of God, we're going to die in faith, knowing that those promises will be fulfilled. And listen, amen. There's some beautiful promises, right? Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you, right? That's so that right. Where I am,
there you may be also.
There you may be also. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, man, a place of where the crystal seas and the pearly gates. They really are pearly gates, right? Each gate
is a golden streets.
One pearl, the golden streets, man. I mean, it's
going to... One river flowing from the...
However you picture it, it's going to be more beautiful than that. Live by faith, because listen, Abraham did, and God fulfilled every promise to Abraham.
Amen.
And he will absolutely fulfill every promise to you. He will. Because why? Why?
Because he said so, and he's God.
I am God, and I cannot and do not lie.
Do not lie, do not change.
So now I hope we know why. Now you know why God chose Abraham.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So hopefully you have some of the nature and the characteristics of Abraham so God can choose you for something.
Amen.
Right? All right, let me wrap this up. Moriah. Mount Moriah is the site of many acts, many biblical acts of faith. It is also one of the most valuable pieces of real estate in the world. Amen? But it also is one of the most contested pieces of real estate in the world. Listen, this is a sacred area, not just to Christians, but to Jews, but not just to Christians and Jews, but Muslims as well, right? Because sitting on top of Mount Moriah today is a 37-acre lot, right? And that is where the temple once stood. But today, several holy sites, but they're Islamic holy sites, sit atop that Mount Moriah. And that it does include the Dome of the Rock, right? A Muslim shrine built over 1,300 years ago. So it's been there a while. It's established some roots, right? So follow me. I think you'll love this part. About 1,000 years after Abraham's story, at this very location, King David bought a threshing floor from Anahu the Jebusite. Do you remember? Because there was a plague going on in Israel, and God told him to build an altar. Hold on. God told him to build an altar. He went to Abarahana at the Jebusite and said, I need this land. And he said, I'll give it to you for free.
No.
And one of David's most famous quotes in 24:24 says, I will not sacrifice unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. That was Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
That was the same place where Abraham was tested and passed the test 1,000,000%, as you said. After David's death, King Solomon built a glorious temple on that very site. Mm-hmm. Amen? Solomon's temple lasted for about 400 years until it was destroyed by
Babylonians.
We know that, don't we? King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Remember, it was the Assyrians that took the 10 northern tribes, and Babylon would come about 130 years later and take out Judah and Jerusalem, right? All right. 70 years later, we know, after their exile in Babylon, they were released from exile by
Cyrus,
the king of Persia. So the power had changed, am I right? So on that site was the temple built by the Jews, the returning Jews from exile from Babylon. We read about that in Haggai. We're going to see that also as Jason next week begins the book of Ezra. Ezra is a really challenging book, Jason. Are you starting to see that? Because there's some huge gaps in there, man, you know, time-wise. So, but I'm looking forward to it, man. I love the book. You know, it's written at the time of Haggai was actually the prophet during that time. So it's really going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I'm really curious what he's going to do with chapter 2. All right. So they come back and they build that temple. We know that temple wasn't up to standards, right? Remember? It was okay. So later on, around the first century, Herod comes and he makes significant changes or additions to that temple. And it becomes known as Herod's Temple. All right? That was the same temple that Jesus cleansed.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same temple that he got together and put those three strands or whatever.
What
did he do?
Oh,
this is a house of prayer, but you have made it. And what did he do? Kicking over tables. See, that's my Jesus. Really? That's my Jesus, man. Pass it. I'm passing about that. Get out of here, man. Boy, just think what he could have done.
Yep.
And he didn't sin.
Huh?
That's
right.
Righteous.
And he didn't sin. All right. And then in AD 70, the Roman armies, led by Titus, and here's what I want you to understand. When Jesus came into Jerusalem before he was crucified, he prophesied this. And he said, remember, he wept. And it's because he knew that as he looked over that city, that not one stone was going to be left upon another. And that was done by Titus. And the temple, of course, was absolutely and totally destroyed. And the only thing that remains now from that temple is one wall. And they call it the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. And you know, millions of people visit that wall.
I did.
Every year, man. All right. So we know what's built there now, right? So the God who first called Abraham to Mount Moriah still has plans for that place. Follow me here. The Bible indicates that the third temple will be built on the Temple Mount or where the other temples were built. Am I right? All right. I want to read you something. You know, maybe it's going to be built on or near the site. I don't know. If where the Dome of the Rock is where the temple was, which, you know, nobody's 100% sure, right? Then that has to go, right? Mm-hmm. You ain't going to build on top of it. But I want to read something to you from Daniel. He will confirm a covenant. This is absolutely talking about that time. That time the temple is going to be rebuilt. Hear me. He will confirm a covenant with many of many for 1-7. What is he talking about? For 1-7. He's talking about the 7-year tribulation period. Now listen close. In the middle of the seven.
Three and a half years.
Hey, you guys are good. Mathematical here. You know what I mean? He will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. So here's the deal. in order for there to be sacrifice and offering, there has to be a temple built. So there's no doubt that the temple is going to be built. Here's the good news. You and I will be gone.
Thank you, Lord.
I truly believe you and I will be gone. All right. At that, and at that, the temple will set, he will, at that, the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. Here's what we know. That it, during the tribulation period, for the first 3 years, they will reinstitute. These guys already got all the pieces for this temple. They already got the red heifer. Yeah. Anybody heard about that? How they are now breeding that line of red heifer. You know what's in chapter 19 of Numbers? Who read ahead? Somebody read ahead that said. It's the red heifer. So the temple is going to be built, and 3.5 years into it, what happens? The Antichrist goes into the temple and declares himself to be God, and that is the abomination of the desolation, right? All right, so it would seem that the present problem, given the political obstacles and everything that's going on over there, and all the Muslims, there's things that stand in the way, right? Because the truth is, that area is controlled by the Supreme Court or the Supreme Majesty of the Muslim Brotherhood. You understand that, right? Yet nothing can keep God's plan from coming to fruition. So, listen, the fact that right now, that area, Jerusalem, where the temple was, is being trampled by Gentiles, only fulfills this prophecy that Jesus himself spoke in Luke 21:24, and this is what he said. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
Amen.
And we know that when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, that the rapture happens next. Yep. And that's when all this starts. And until then, that Temple Mount is being trampled by godless, wicked Gentiles. But don't be surprised, because that's what Jesus said would happen.
Come on.
Amen?
Yeah.